Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
It's something in their identity that is missing and that the Holy Spirit needs to speak to and they need to reclaim before they go out and date.
You're listening to Chiseled and Called with Brittany Dawn, a podcast about finding freedom in imperfection and peace in your broken pieces through Jesus. Our prayer is that today's message will bless you, embolden you, and fix your gaze on the King, that it will stir up the calling God has placed within you. Without further ado, here's your host, Brittany Dawn.
Welcome to the Chiseled and Called podcast. I am your host, Brittany Dawn, and I am so excited about today's special guest. This conversation is going to be so juicy and so truthful, and I am here for it. I am having Kate from Heart of Dating on today. Most of you guys probably know who she is or have seen her stuff on social media, on Instagram. I almost just said on the internet and that felt really weird. But it is going to be a good, beautiful, heartful, holy conversation over dating, all things dating. And we're just going to go there. So without further ado, let's hop in. Welcome to the Chiseled and Called podcast, Kate. I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here, Brittany. Thanks for having me. I feel like we're just going to hang out and talk about some fun subjects that people want to know about.
I know, all the juicy things about dating.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're like, please tell me everything.
I need answers because this ain't working. Yeah. That's how I was years ago. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, but it's not it. So
it's
I just
not happening,
need...
fam. It's not. Yes. They're like, I got ghosted yesterday, so please help me.
That was me. I was that girl, unfortunately.
Yes. Oh, so hard.
Yes. Well, before we jump in, do you want to tell everyone a little bit about yourself and why you're so passionate about just dating and relationships and all the things?
Yes, totally. So I started Heart of Dating podcast about 6 years ago now, and I never, ever thought that I would be, at the time, a single woman talking about my dating story and leading a dating podcast. That was never going to be in the cards for me. And if you had told me that like 8 years ago, I would have laughed at you and been like, no, absolutely not. Me talking about my dating story and how wild that is? No, thank you. But it was just so clear, actually, after the wake of a pretty big heartbreak, I just felt the Lord put on my heart to start a podcast. And it was strange because I wasn't even a big podcast listener. This was like when podcasts started to get really popular, but I still wasn't really into them. And I was like, why a podcast, Lord? And then as I prayed about what it was going to be about, it kept being clear that I was going to be dating. But Brittany, I did not want to do it. I was like, pick someone else. Like, wait, not me. Like, why me? Like, do you like remember my story? Like, you know how I've not been the best dater?
Wow.
And so, you know, it's funny thinking back to that moment because even biblically, we see that God chooses the like unexpected person or somebody who totally does not feel qualified. Mm-hmm. And they're like, really? Me? Mm-hmm. Okay. And he's like, yeah. And so I see it now, especially being in my calling and loving it so much. But I remember just at the time thinking, this is so weird, but okay, like I will do this. And so I started on the journey with Heart of Dating just to kind of open up dialogues about questions that Christian singles have that we don't often get answered. And, you know, you may have a great pastor at your church who probably got married super young and probably doesn't really get what dating is like today. And with dating apps and with the whole culture of what it is.
Yeah.
So they feel a little unequipped to talk about dating. So they might do like one sermon series or one sermon a year. And even then you're still like, okay, but what do I do with ghosting? And what do I do with dating apps? And what do I do with this, that, and the other? Or like in the church, how do I handle that? And so that's kind of how Heart of Dating started. And it's so clear on that journey that God just had this passion on my heart. And I'm so glad that I followed that intuition that the Lord put in my soul, because I love talking about dating and singleness and really talking through becoming a healed and whole single person and reigniting singles, that they are not diseased, that the season is not a time that is just a holding pattern for the next season. There's something great and beautiful about who you are as a single person. And that's something I had to really strive to learn and fight for in my singleness after years of having really traumatic experiences. And so anyway, I love getting to do it now. And yes, I am married now for a little over a year. And JJ, now my husband, he runs it with me. And it's so crazy that God did that, because I never had that as a part of my thought process. Lord, you're going to bring a man that's going to run this with me. It was more like, hey, I'm just going to keep doing my thing. And God put it on his heart specifically without me planting any ideas. And it just was so amazing how that came to be. So anyway, that was maybe a long intro, but that's a little of my story and background.
I love it. And I love that he sent you someone to run alongside of you. It's just like God to do that, because he wants us to have someone that is running the same speed and matches us, not someone that's going to pull us back or, lead us into toxicity, which is a whole conversation I'm sure you could dive into, all the things. Well, I mean, there's so many women. You mentioned ghosting, you mentioned bad relationships, you've mentioned so much already. And there's a lot of women out there who are settling. I feel like I've been there. Oh, you've probably been there. Could you speak to someone who is in a dating relationship, or they feel like they're running out of time and there's all these options on dating apps, but none of them are quite what they know they deserve as a daughter of the Lord. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I see this happening a lot with females especially. And it's usually after the age of 30. There's something that happens after 30, typically, because there's a biological clock that women start thinking about. And then they're like, oh, I'm on this timeline and I need to find someone. And that's where I see a lot of people feel more anxiety around dating, and a lot of women kind of force dating processes. Not to say you wouldn't, they might not do that before then, but I see the urgency really happen after 30. And I think part of this process of not settling is you first have to know, it's so big, Brittany, to just know that who you are uniquely and purposefully. Me and JJ teach a program. It's an 8-week intensive called School of Dating. And everyone comes into it wanting to know how to date and tell me how to do online dating. Tell me how to do this and the other. And we do love teaching practicals. But where people I see have the most transformation in this program is in the first few weeks, where we dive into your identity and who God says that you are, and uncovering some of your patterns from the past of why you've chosen certain people that you have dated, and not to shame you for that, for those decisions, but rather to see the patterns and be able to see maybe where we've exchanged truth for lies in the past, so that we can reclaim those truths and get back to what we call as godfidence, your godly confidence in who God uniquely formed and fashioned you to be. And so often I see a lot of women settling because they lean into that scarcity mindset. This has to happen. I'm getting older. All my friends are getting married. But when in doing that, they're letting go of their unique personhood, woman that God has uniquely formed them to be without a man. And you have to get back to that first. You have to reclaim your identity, know your worth and value. And there's a difference between pride, which says, I am the best. Mm-hmm. I'm the best of the best of the best. And there's no other woman like me. I'm just so much more amazing than everyone. Versus confidence.
Yeah.
And God wants us to have a confidence in who he uniquely formed us to be. He created you. So you should have an excitement and be proud of your expressiveness or your creativity or your passions and your personality, because all of those things are amazing things that God has wired in you. And that is something to be celebrated. And so when we settle, we're letting pieces of that go because we're saying, oh, well, that's okay. Like I need this more than I need to fully be this amazing woman that God has created me to be.
Wow.
And you're sacrificing so much of who God truly, God truly has for you, I believe. And so, I just think like we have to get back to your true identity. Like I can give people all of the dating advice in the world, practical tips, and I love doing that. But without that identity piece and the healing that goes into your worthiness and value, it's not going to mean anything because you're still going to, rejection's still going to tear you down. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're going to still try to make it work with guys that have a bit of potential, but like there's still a lot of red flags.
Yeah, you know? A lot.
And so, So it's like, man, it sounds so basic, but I'm like, ladies, we have, and I'm just working with like hundreds of women at this point. I'm like, maybe even thousands. I see, I talk to them, I look them in the eyes and I'm like, there is, it's something in their identity that is missing and that the Holy Spirit needs to speak to and they need to reclaim before they go out and date. Because it will lead to settling.
Yeah. And even before going into marriage, right? Like if you don't have, for me, I had to really lose that need for validation from men before I even met my now husband, because I feel like that is something that leads people to have divorce, affairs. Like if you don't get rid of that need for attention from men, because I went through that phase of life, you're going to find yourself in marriage, married to the man that God has for you. And then all of a sudden you're still wanting attention from all these guys. That's not how it works. And I've seen that before. And I'm like, honey, you have to do the work on yourself before God's going to send the right guy, because he doesn't want you to destroy him either. He loves that man just as much as he loves you. And so I love that you said that. I think there's also, I've seen there can be a very critical spirit when you get, as you get into your 30s, and I wrestled this too, of like, I want this guy to have this and that, and he has to have the looks, and he has to have the job, and he has to have the XYZ, right? We could all have an endless list as women. And how important, you know, I've even had a friend, like, this guy had everything, but he wasn't as attractive. I've been there. You've probably been there. How important is physical attraction in a relationship? If he checks off all the boxes, but that one thing, and you're like, I'm not 100% attracted to this guy. He's cute, but he's not my type, or he's too tall, or he's too short, whatever it is, right? We can be really picky. How important is that? Like, does it really matter? I know we want to be physically attracted and we need to be physically attracted, but I'll let you speak on this.
Totally. And you just said it, like physical attraction is important in a for a degree, but I do think we at this cultural moment in time have been more wired to focus on that than so many other things. And so we have to kind of understand that we're being influenced a lot by the media and culture and a lot of things that say, hey, like spark an initial connection and all this amazing blah, 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 blah. Like, like, even if you're not saying, oh, I'm looking for that initial spark, you're probably seeing influences of it around you that make you be like, oh, I want that fairy tale story. So I, so many people, when it comes to like, let's say meeting someone on a date, a Christian dating app, they're like, oh, but like, that's not my story. I don't want that to be my story. And I'm like, it's because they want it to be like, they're at the grocery store and like the clouds part and the Holy Spirit, like a dove comes down and you see this man like looking at the apple section and the Lord is like, this is the one, you know? And it's like, they want this like fairy tale story, you know, where I'm like, it's like we want this like crazy narrative that's like, oh, I couldn't keep my hands off him, you know, and like whatever. And that's like the thing that we picture a lot of times. And I'm like, that's not very healthy.
And it's not realistic. And so
it's not.
I met my husband on Facebook. Oh.
Yeah.
And that was years after we matched on a dating app. So it's like.
There we go. I met my husband on Zoom during COVID. Like, it's like so random. But I do think we need to challenge our sense of type in the things that are more superficial and way and less character qualities, mm-hmm. you know, because don't sacrifice on character qualities. Absolutely not. Now, you're not looking for perfection in somebody, but you are looking for somebody that has strong fruit of very important character qualities, yeah. you know, like integrity and obviously godliness and so much in there. You don't want to sacrifice those things.
Yeah.
But if I see a lot of people that are like, oh, he's a great guy, but he's 5'6", you know, not yeah. going to work for me. And I'm like, wait, like, why? Yeah. Like, why not? Why yeah. are you eliminating that perfectly awesome guy mm-hmm. who loves the Lord, who is consistent, who is a great friend
yeah.
just because he's a little shorter? And sometimes these things, Brittany, actually come back to insecurities we have about ourselves.
Wow.
Like, I have to be with a guy that looks a certain way, because if I am with that guy, then it makes me feel more attractive
wow.
or it makes me feel more feminine or it makes me feel whatever, wow. insert it. So there's like some insecurity that we haven't fully healed. And if I date the guy that I don't think is super, super, super physically attractive, that means I'm not super physically attractive, or I'm just that lie of, oh, I'm not that great looking comes back and wow. I have to face that lie. And so I think that's true for men as well. But I think that's something we really have to assess, especially when it comes to height. And that's a whole discussion, because people are like, oh no, I don't feel like feminine with a guy that's like shorter than me. And I'm like, well, I would really challenge that, because mm-hmm. who's to say he's not super strong? Who's to say he's not going to be a protector of mm-hmm. you? But you're judging it based on something in you that feels maybe yeah. more insecure
wow.
because you feel bigger or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so, it usually comes back to some deficits we feel in ourselves, that we're looking to a certain kind of attractiveness so that we don't really have to deal with that.
Wow.
So that's kind of like a deeper discussion on why we choose certain looks and types. So I do think, yes, at the end of the day, if you are with someone and you've dated them for a long time and the idea of kissing them is like, ugh, disgusting to you, then, you know, like that's not great.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want you to marry someone where you don't even want to kiss them or have them hold your hand.
Like, that's yeah.
like, no. So, you know, I'm definitely not taking the extreme of like, looks don't matter at all. Mm-hmm. You need to have physical attraction. But I think that we all have to realize that our physical attraction desires are often skewed in the beginning. And
yeah.
it's why I don't think, if just because the guy might be in your mind 10 out of 10 attractive, that doesn't make him a good candidate. And you might feel a lot of butterflies and feels because yeah. he likes you, but that is not a good driving factor for a relationship
yes.
in the Lord. And in fact, for me, and I think because I know some of your story, I used to get infatuated with guys. I used to, you know, I loved when guys showed me attention, mm-hmm. especially attractive guys. And what I learned even in my relationship with JJ and how I challenged myself before I met him was actually what's safer for me is a slow burn and not an instant spark in chemistry.
Yeah.
For me, what was safer is a steady, consistent building. And as JJ always says, like forging of love.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what I needed.
Yeah.
And through building that consistency, the beginning JJ was not my type physically. And through building these, the consistency, the safety, seeing his character, I realized like, oh, I'm attracted to that. Like physically, emotionally, spiritually, mm-hmm. I am into that consistency and that safety way more than I'm into the guy with a six pack over here that's like a model looking guy
mm-hmm.
who is not emotionally available.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And so I think it's just something like, that's why we need to pause when we are thinking to ourselves, no, he's not my type. Mm-hmm. Well, why?
Yeah.
Why is he not your type?
Yeah.
Is it based on character? Because, okay, that's fine if it's based on character. But is it just because he's nerdier?
Yeah.
Or because of his height? Or, you know, whatever it
yes.
is. I think we just have to start questioning ourselves on why we're saying he's not my type.
Yeah. Wow. That's so good. It's so true, though. And the whole insecurity thing, like when I met my husband, he's 6'1", almost 6'2". I had only ever dated guys that were over 6'4 or 6'5. Like that was, because I'm 5'9. So I always liked the really tall guys. And I remember I met him and immediately it was like, oh, well, he's not tall enough. And I'm like, what? He's literally like 6'2. Like, how is that? That is like, what? Like, and I really
had way above average.
Yes. And he's a big guy. Like my husband is just, he's a protector. And I really had to check my heart. And it just goes to show, like, we can build these false narratives in our head and these almost fantasies of like what we think our future husband's going to look like. And then when the Lord sends the one, we're like, oh, but like, that's not what I dreamed up. And God's like, I know what you need more than you know what you need. And that was my situation. And it's just so funny. I've heard so many stories too, where women aren't attracted to their now husbands when they first met, and how God just like immediately in an instant almost just removes that. And then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, he's so attractive. And and I think it does come from that slow burn that you mentioned. Like if you're looking for something that like you're, there's a spark right away, yeah, that's great, but it's just like a candle, right? Like they're going to burn out fast because there's not a lot to burn. But if you use a, it's a slow burn you're looking for, like that's sustainable. That's a foundation. And then you're getting to see someone's character. You're getting to see how they hold up in times of trial. Like all the really important things that are going to happen in marriage. Another thing that I think, I know I've dealt with, and I'm sure you have too, is being ghosted. And I saw that you guys have been talking about this in the Heart of Dating, and I'm like, yes.
Oh my goodness, yes.
It's not talked about enough, and everyone's dealing with it, even in friendships, right? Like, I've been ghosted by friends, like not recently, but in the past, and I'm like, what? It's just like, the norm.
What happened?
It's just the norm thing to do, and it's easier to ghost someone than it is to like, you know, have a discussion or a hard conversation. And that's just how people are now. So to the one that's been ghosted, what would you say to encourage them?
I, first of all, like you're not alone. I've been ghosted many times. I have also ghosted people in the past in unhealthy places that I was in because I didn't want to face confrontation. And so, you know, ghosting, this is, ghosting really challenges our relationship with rejection, because I think when we can, we kind of have to wrestle with rejection and how rejection makes us feel and what we think or what rejection has spoken to us and told us about ourselves in the past. Because we have to know, first of all, and I wrote a whole book on rejection, so I love talking about it, but we have to know that rejection is always going to happen no matter what. We don't have control over rejection happening to us in life, like through many different facets, in work, in friendships, and of course, in dating. They're just going to be at the person at the grocery store. You smile at them and they're just like scowling at you back. You know, there's just going to be like people that reject you and reject your kind gestures or don't want to have anything to do with you. And so, but a lot of times those moments speak to us and they say, oh, you're too much or you're not enough or, you know, there's a lie that we believe at our core when it comes to rejection. So we have to face first, ideally, what is that lie of rejection? And I think we need to start there, because what ghosting is like a very confusing sense of rejection because there is no explanation. Just, they like disappear out of nowhere and you're like, versus them actually breaking it off with you and giving you a realistic, you know, idea of why they just disappear and give you nothing, no sense of quote unquote closure. So, but it comes back to how we view rejection and what rejection says about ourselves. And so I think we need to first wrestle with that, because what I had to start doing in my singleness is realize that a rejection does not mean necessarily that there's anything wrong with me. There could be things I need to learn and grow from, absolutely. But when a rejection happens, such as ghosting, that is not the time for me to be questioning everything about myself, because that's what the enemy wants. He wants me to sit there in a downward spiral and ask, what's wrong with me? I'm too much. I shouldn't have said that. Yeah. Of course, my emotions are just like way too much for this guy to handle. Oh gosh, Kate, you shouldn't have like been talking so much. Like all these different things, insecurities flaring all about. And that's where the enemy's like, great, yeah, let's get you stuck in getting and back into those waters of self-hatred and self-confusion and questioning yourself. And so even if in ghosting or in a rejection, there is something for us to learn, I don't believe it's in the first moments of when it happens.
Yeah.
I think that those are the moments where we have to actually notice the lies that are coming our way and say, no, I'm not going to believe that.
Yeah.
Instead, I'm believing the things that God has said about me, mm-hmm. going back to Godfidence. And then through time, especially if it has to do with a breakup, then through time we can, you know, when we're not as affected by that rejection, hey, did I do anything there? Is there anything more that you want to show me about maybe how I showed up?
Wow.
Now, when it comes to ghosting those specifically, I really, really, really think that ghosting has way more to do with the other person than it has to do with you.
Yeah.
Because this is just an extreme sense of rejection where, to be honest, this is on the other person because they are not mature enough and to have a real pointed conversation, mm-hmm. honest dialogue with you.
Yeah.
And they just decide it's easier to just let you go. And they defend it in their minds by saying, oh, I don't want to hurt them. And so that's what the ghoster does. They're like, oh, this is better because I know they're sensitive. And if I actually told them I didn't want to be with them, that would hurt more. So I'm just going to save them from that.
Wow.
And just, you know, not say anything at all. But that's like their own justification system for actually just being emotionally immature,
yep.
and not wanting to have a hard conversation. Ghosting has typically way much more to do with the ghoster than it does to do with you. And a lot of times they're emotionally unavailable. They maybe just aren't into you, but they don't know how to say it, which, hello, do you want to be with somebody who can't express their feelings and emotions,
yeah.
and have hard conversations?
Yeah.
You really don't,
exactly.
You know? Or maybe they realize, oh my gosh, like, I'm really busy right now. This is not a good time in my life. Or they really are busy and forgot. Well, also, I don't want to be with somebody who can't even remember me. Like, yeah, like,
first red flag.
That's not going to work for me either. And so if you get ghosted, it's like, that doesn't feel great because you're a human that deserves like a conversation,
mm-hmm.
And it's not kind, but it has way more to do with them. Not that we villainize that person and just like, they're the worst, da, 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 but it's so that the enemy can't have a hold in those moments of ghosting where the rejection lies like to come up and say, it's all about you. You said too much on that last date. You texted too much. You know, you are too much. You're not enough. You're not beautiful enough. He wants a girl with a different body type, like all these lies,
mm-hmm.
and that's what happens in ghosting, and we're like left feeling so bad about ourselves.
Yeah.
Now, ghosting is way more about that person, their life, their brokenness, whatever they're going through, and they're going to justify it, but there's really no good justification for ghosting unless you're dealing with an abusive person.
Yeah.
Like if somebody harassed you and is abusing you, ghost them. Yes.
Yeah.
But that is not happening here. So in most cases, mm-hmm. you know, oh, I get passionate about ghosting.
I love it.
People need to stop doing it.
Yes. It's just so terrible. There's really no words.
Yes.
It's the worst feeling. It's happened to me. It's happened to me where I would like get ghosted by a guy and then like 3 months later, they'd reach out again. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, we need to chat and not
like
about what you think we
wrong.
Want to. Yeah. Yeah.
Like it was no big deal.
Yes.
Like, hey, again, you're like, I'm sorry. No.
I'm like,
hello, Casper, the friendly ghost, not friendly ghost. Like, where have you been?
Yes. And it's just the worst feeling because then you're stuck in this cycle of like, you get back in a situationship with a guy and then you're talking and then they mm-hmm. ghost you again. And then you're heartbroken and then they come back and it stirs everything up that you're trying to heal from.
Yes.
So maybe to even in that situation on the flip side, to the one who maybe they got out of a relationship years ago and they thought this guy was like out of sight, out of mind, never coming back in your life. And then he reaches out years down the road.
Yes.
I'm sure that's happened to many women listening.
Oh, yeah.
What, and these, I'm speaking to like single, you know, singleness, like if someone is single and that happens mm-hmm. and they know it's a toxic relationship and they know it's not the one for them,
yes.
like what is the, how do you navigate that? Do you just block them? Do you have an honest conversation and say, hey, like this isn't going to work because this is where the Lord's calling me and it's not to be with you.
Right.
How would you navigate that?
Yeah, my policy in breakups is if it's been a serious relationship with serious time invested, you need to go cold turkey, first of all, in a breakup. Like, do not have contact with them. Even if you're in the same friend group, you need to separate yourself from them for a while. Now, I'm not saying that you should do that after a few dates or maybe a month of talking to someone. I'm talking about you're in a serious relationship. There's a lot of investment involved. Cut them off cold turkey. And you can even tell them, no, I cannot be your friend. I need time to heal and I'm not going to be speaking with you. It's nothing personal. It's truly for me because I need that in order to heal. And if they care about you in any capacity, they should respect that boundary. Okay. And so it's very telling when somebody doesn't respect that boundary and continues to try to contact you after you've asked for them not to. But in the case that you're saying, hey, it was a non-healthy relationship, this, there was toxic things happening, the person comes back. Now, there is always a chance that the person has gotten healing. Okay. So I never want to eliminate that possibility because I do think people do severely, or they do get healing and that can happen. But if you were in an abusive scenario, if this person is showing narcissistic tendencies, like this is not something you should be reconsidering. And, especially if they have any sort of narcissistic tendencies or were abusive in any way, they're going to eventually come back, probably, and they have great things to say at first. They will, and you need to know that. They're going to say the right things. They're going to, because what somebody who is like that wants is they want to get control back, and they want to, like, it's maybe unknowingly, but it's kind of like a game to them. And so if you've really identified this, there's some major toxic patterns here. You cannot engage with that person. The best thing you can do is not engage at all. Like truly, like you were saying, even block them. But in the meantime, you need to work through discernment and healing from the Holy Spirit and learning to trust yourself again. Because when somebody like that reaches out, you need to be so in touch with the Holy Spirit that you know this intention is not good and I'm not falling for that again. You know, because that muscle needs to be healed and retrained in the meantime. And that's what I had to really work through personally after many different abusive relationships. I had to rework on trusting myself and trusting my discernment. And so if a guy from my past did reach back out, it was almost like I could read it. No matter how flowery and wonderful it sounded, and I was like, nope, the intention isn't good. I can feel it in my spirit. So I'm not going to engage this. And you don't have to feel bad about not engaging the person if God is not, if God is saying no. You know, it's, you don't have to feel bad about that. I think that's where, especially if it's been abusive, toxic in any way, We can say, oh, but that's so mean to like not even give them a response, or it's so mean to just, you know, block them. I'm like, it's not. It's for you. It's not about them. It's how you're protecting yourself, knowing that, hey, in the past you fell to some of the traps of this person. So wisdom says, I'm not even going to engage. I'm not even going to, if you were in alcoholic recovery, I'm not even going to engage, right? I'm not going to engage in any sort of alcohol temptations. I'm just, nope, not going to engage. I'm not going to pretend I'm strong enough for that. I have built strength back, but the best thing for me is to just continue to be very strict to my boundaries as I continue to heal on my journey.
That's so beautiful. Well, it's like the scripture says two things, two scriptures that came to mind, and I can't tell you where they are in the Bible. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's a scripture. And then the other one about a dog returning to his own vomit. That came up, and and it breaks my heart because I've been that girl. Like, I've been her. You're like, you know what going back to that person is going to lead to, but you're still like tempted. And so I love that you said,
like, a hope, like they're going to be different,
or I can change them, or I can fix them.
And let me just say this. I need to say this. You cannot make an unhealthy person want to change. This is in every area of life. If you have an addict in your life, if you have a toxic ex-boyfriend, like you, nothing you as a human, you cannot personally make an unhealthy person want to change. And if you don't believe that, you're going to not die trying, but you are going to suck the life out of yourself trying to make them want to change. And it's going to bring you completely down in the process. Yeah. And that's actually codependency. And so you cannot make an unhealthy person change.
Yeah.
And we so want to, you know, that's why also I just need to add this because it just feels so much in this is that after a breakup with somebody toxic, the worst thing to do is to keep considering that they're going to change and come back.
Mm-hmm.
And like the what if they're going to change and come yeah. back? What if? Like, don't even let that possibility be in your brain.
Yeah.
There are stories where God does the miraculous. I've seen it. However, it is not going to be a good part of your healing to focus on that what if.
Yeah.
You need to focus on yourself and your healing mm-hmm. journey and focus on your lane. Do not even think of what if, because let God handle that person entirely and let God be completely handling you. There should be no what ifs thinking about fantasizing super mm-hmm. scenarios, because if you are letting your mind be there consistently, if they do come back, you're like, perfect. This is what I was fantasizing about.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And you're going to fall back into that.
Yeah.
So don't even let the what ifs cross your brain.
Yeah.
That's what I would
say. That is so good and so needed. I mean, every girl has been there before. You go through a breakup and you're like, oh, but like, what if he changes? And what if he comes back? And what if he reaches out? And what if he texts me? Or what if I run into him at the grocery store? You know, just you're building all these scenarios in your head. And it's like, you're preventing yourself from healing the way that you deserve
yes.
to.
Yes.
And I think that also can tie in to wrap this up, like boundaries, having boundaries yeah. for yourself, whether that's in a relationship, mm-hmm. whether that's in singleness, whether that's out there actively dating, like you have to have boundaries. So could you maybe mention a few just healthy boundaries to implement that
yes.
someone, whether they're single or dating, is in boundaries that they could use right now?
Yeah, I think some of the biggest ones I emphasize is spiritual, emotional, and physical boundaries. Obviously, we say boundaries, we immediately think of physical, which mm-hmm. is important. I think spiritual and emotional, though, are also super important in dating and in how we pace ourselves in the dating relationship. And this also applies to friendships. Like sometimes I think with girls, we get excited and we're like, oh my gosh, this is my soul sister. I just met her. Oh my goodness. And then we're emotionally sharing everything about our lives to a person we just met.
Yeah.
And I used to do that all the time. Okay. Guilty. That's why I'm saying it over here. And I learned, hey, that's not really a healthy, wise way for me to connect with someone.
Wow.
True friendship requires time and a building of trust, just as a true relationship, which is built on a friendship, mm-hmm. needs time and a building of trust.
Yeah.
And so you need to have emotional, spiritual, and physical boundaries when in your life and in dating specifically. Like emotionally, I think we get like we tell everything there is to know about us in
yeah.
the very beginning. And I'm like, I don't think you should do that. Like you can mention maybe some details. Like when I was dating, it was out there in the public that I was in abusive relationships. Mm-hmm. But what I would save, so they would know that maybe off the bat, and I might mention that, but what I would save for later are the details of really what happened
yeah.
and really what I went through and how hard that was for me. And I asked people not to like look up my story. I wanted to share that with them when I felt emotionally ready mm-hmm. to really like face-to-face share that with them. And so you may tell them you have some emotion, like some hard relationships of your past, but you don't have to tell them the ins and outs of every single detail
yes.
that happened. And you shouldn't yet until you build trust.
Yeah.
A lot of that, I think, also, Brittany, is insecurity. Like, I'm going to tell them everything so that to see if they accept me.
Wow.
Because, like,
yeah.
I feel like if they knew everything, if they know everything eventually, they're mm-hmm. not going to really love and accept me.
Yeah.
So let me just start by outing it all
wow.
and see if they love and accept me. And there's, like, an insecurity around that. So that's emotional, spiritual. I think that should also be paced 100%. I think a lot of times, you know, you can't act like you're married in a dating relationship spiritually when you're not married
mm-hmm.
yet, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really important that you're not one yet.
Yeah.
So a lot of people like want to do that dance of pretending they're one as a couple when they're not
mm-hmm.
yet. Like you don't have the covering of the Lord in being oneness. You haven't made those commitments and those vows and that union that happens on marriage. So you can, and yes, you should spiritually do things together, like praying for over a situation that's happening. But I don't think it's necessarily as wise to be like a couple that is we're one mm-hmm. praying together, if that makes sense. Yeah. And there's like a difference there. And spiritually, I think we need to pace that out as well. And then with physical, I mean, absolutely, there needs to be boundaries. My rule yeah. was I don't kiss anyone until I'm in a relationship with them. And even then, like me and JJ, we completely took kissing off when we were engaged. Like we would kiss, but not mm-hmm. like nothing, nothing real more than like a peck mm-hmm. because we realize like an engagement, especially, hey, that altar line is very close
yep.
and it gets really exciting.
Yes.
So we just were like, you know what? We're not even going to do anything yeah. more. And that sounds legalistic for some, but for me and my past, that was wisdom for me. Mm-hmm. And JJ knew that.
Yes.
And he actually implemented that. And I was like, all right, let's go. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yes. You have to.
You have to. Go ahead.
Yeah. You have to implement things that you know are going to help you from getting into a situation that you're going to regret. And it's like that. On an interview I had earlier this morning, I was saying the enemy will tempt you to take your clothes mm-hmm. off before marriage, and then he'll tempt you to keep mm-hmm. your clothes on after marriage. And it's because yes. sex is such yes. a powerful tool in marriage in yes. the right context. And yes. so you have to prevent yes. yourself from getting into the situation that is going to lead to that previous to the right time. And I love that. We yeah. actually did the same thing. We had limits on kissing. We weren't allowed to like make out or anything. If we did a kiss, it was like 1 second, 2 seconds, like super small, very, very subtle, because we knew if we do anything more than that, it's going to stir us up. And we know what that leads to. And we just weren't willing to compromise on that.
And people hear that and they're like, oh, that's so like lame. I'm like, hey, my past was filled with sexual mm-hmm. stuff. Okay. And so for me, it's just a safeguard I need to put in place out of wisdom. Mm-hmm. Like I needed to be more strict.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter that I'm older. Doesn't matter that like I should know better by now and blah, blah, blah. Cause I feel like a lot of people say that like, well, Kate, but like I'm 38. Like I don't need to have the kind of boundaries a 20-year-old would have.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, do you know yourself? And do you like, what is your consistent pattern with this thing?
Yeah.
Like, I don't really care what age you are. You need to know and what the Lord is speaking to you and what is best wisdom for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, not the same, well, same conversation, but where couples will be like, oh yeah, it's fine. Let's share a hotel together. I'm 38 years old or whatever. And why not? We can control ourselves. I'm like, I just don't think it's wise.
Yeah.
I just do not think yes. that's a good reason. Like, yeah. oh, because I'm this age, I don't have to be that way. I'm like, no, this is about wisdom. It doesn't yeah. matter about age.
The temptation does not deter based on how old you are. Like it's just, mm-hmm. It's the same sin and it's the same spirit and it's the same temptation and it's never going to yes. look different. I mean, it may look different, but it's always going to feel the same. And yes. yeah. Wow.
And ladies, last thing you should know, if you communicate emotional, spiritual, or physical boundaries and the man is not respecting those, mm-hmm. like that is a big telltale sign in all of those categories. If you don't feel comfortable sharing emotionally with him yet and he is pushing you or he feels offended, I had a guy feel offended that I set an emotional boundary. You don't trust me. I'm like, I'm on like a fourth date with you. I need to build more trust, but I'm looking yeah. forward to sharing more with you through time. He was like, I can't believe you don't trust me. Well, that shows me a lot about
wow.
his, you know, willingness to respect my limits and my boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, same with physical. I mean,
yeah.
same. Like the man should want to honor you
yeah.
above all else.
Yeah.
And if he's not, it reveals a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're setting physical boundaries and he's like, oh yeah, I'll honor those. And then 5 minutes later, that's not the right guy. Not the right guy for you. Wow. No. Well, thank you so much. This was so good. I feel like I learned stuff and I'm married over here, 2 years married. How long have you guys been married?
A little over a year now.
Yeah. So yeah. Still so brand about the new. Same. Yeah. It's yeah. We're still both in that newlywed phase and it feels good.
Yes.
And you know, we walk through fires, but every marriage does. And it's just like, yeah. It's so beautiful when you do it the right way and you have the yeah. Lord, how just, I don't even know, just how refined and forged your marriage is. And yes, Jordan and I have walked through a lot of fires, yes. not in marriage, but on the outside, the exterior.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's made us so strong together and I love it. And it just goes to show that when you do it the right way, you do it the Lord's way. It's that's how he intended it. He did it for our protection, not for us to not have fun and miss out and all the things. So yeah.
Oh, I completely agree. I could have married so many guys of my past, you know, and truly, ladies, you can get married to anyone. I'm sure there is a prince somewhere that wants to get married to you. Okay. But like, don't settle, like Brittany's saying. Oh man, I love that, Brittany. Oh, it's so good.
Yes. Well, where can everyone find you before we wrap this up? I would love for everyone to come connect with you guys.
Just go to heartofdating.com. That's where you can find the podcast, our programs. We have a conference at the end of this year in Nashville. And just everything on there. We have free resources, so that will kind of direct you to everything that we do. And we have a big Facebook community. If you do want to meet like Christian singles, our Facebook community has like almost 15,000 people, and they're chatting all the time and people meet in there. So it's kind of like, it's not a dating app, right? But people do meet in there, friends and, you know, some other people. And so, but thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh. Amazing. Thank you so much. This was so fun. And I'm sure we'll speak again soon.
Yeah, we will, girl.
Wow. I am so grateful for women of God who aren't afraid to just go there. They're not afraid of the hard conversations. They don't shy away from them. They just speak truth, even when it hurts, even when it cuts a little deeper than we're probably comfortable with. And I'm grateful that Kate spoke on the things that she did. There are so many times in my life looking back that I wish I had a big sister like Kate to speak truth into my life, to speak truth into my dating life, my relationships, my situationships, if we're just being honest here, because it would have saved me from so much heartbreak. And it didn't. And that's why we're here speaking about it now. Because if there's a way that we can warn you guys and teach you guys to go the other direction, the godly direction, then it's worth it. There have been so many times in my life where I wish I would have known. It would have saved me so many tears. It would have saved me from so many just terrible situations, for lack of better words. And I love how she just went there and she was brutally honest. There's so many times where we build this unrealistic picture of who we think our future husband is and who we think he should be and what we think he'll look like and what we think he'll do, when in reality, we don't know God's plan. And I think that in doing this, we're just setting ourselves up for heartbreak. Regardless, I hope that today's episode spoke life into you. I pray that it encouraged you in some capacity, one way or another. Thank you guys so much for stopping in. And as always, I'll see you guys in the next episode.
If you'd like to learn more about Brittany Dawn, you can find her personal platforms and ministry through the social links below. Thank you for listening in today. And remember, there's no depth that God will not go for you. His grace is sufficient. Even here.